Top 5 Face-Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
This is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world rankings of everything. We're back and we're ranking. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Well, Squirrel, today we are going to be ranking the top 5 horror movies of all time.
It's coming right up after this.
There's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the top 5 face-off. Actual facts. It's the top 5 face-off. Facts are exact. Top 5 face-off. Top 5 face-off. Official world ranking. What's next? You decide.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, rankers. Welcome back to our loyal rankers. Thank you for your patience throughout our extended break. We did say we'd be back in October.
Technically correct.
We really cut it fine, but we didn't lie. So thank you for any new rankers who have just joined the crew. Squirrel, why don't you tell them what we do here and why we do it?
Well, new rankers, this is the first episode of season 2 of Top 5 Face-Off. What we do here is we take suggestions from our Patreons, mostly, although we're not doing that this week, but don't worry about that. And we rank the top 5 things in that suggested category. We also talk about the worst thing in that category as well, but that's just for fun. And then you, the ranker at home, go to our website, www.top5faceoff.co.uk, and vote to tell us which one of us got our list correct. That will become the official world ranking.
It is vitally important that you vote. It's really
vitally important.
The world is depending on you, really.
Yes, it's basically the whole point, because if no one votes, then, well, we'll just be talking to ourselves. Hey, we might be doing that anyway.
Yeah, but we are funny as shit.
We are funny as fuck.
I'd do it if we didn't have any listeners.
I wouldn't.
So fuck you, rankers.
Yeah. I mean, but, well, no, because there's no listeners, so
no,
there's
no one so to fuck. So fuck you, Hurst. Well, yeah.
Top 5 co-hosts, let us know, Patreons. Excellent. Yeah, very excited to be back for the new season. Hurst, how are you feeling?
I'm pumped. I am super pumped about it. I've really missed this, which is easy for me to say because I'm not the one that does all the hard work in the background. But it was always one of my favourite days was podcast day, so I'm delighted.
And here we are. Do you remember what we do on this podcast? As I know, we rank stuff.
Well, we do tend to start off with a little bit of small talk.
Oh, because we're British.
Yeah, because we're British.
We remain British.
Absolutely. We don't get straight to the point. That would be entirely uncouth. Ugh. So, I guess, how's the weather?
Dark. Because the clocks have just changed, and now it's dark all the time, apparently. I don't know why, but it is. There we are.
It's an interesting point. Is dark weather, is the time of day, I mean, it's the time of day, but the outside it's dark. Is that weather or is that just time?
Well, I established the weather by looking out of my window to see what the weather is, and dark. So, yeah, that's the best I can do.
That's interesting.
I guess earlier today it was all right. We had a storm, didn't we, a while back?
Yeah, we had some inclement weather. It's been a bit windy today, but, you know.
This is fucking banging weather chat. I know the rankers are thrilled. They tuned back in for this cobwallop.
Autumnal, I would say, from my end. Autumnal.
All right, so, good word.
But what's been going on? What have we been up to in the last couple of months? Anything good?
Still no. So you asked me during the teaser trailer, which was 2 days ago, and I haven't managed to come up with anything in that time, which was, let's not forget, 2 days ago and certainly not 4 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I went on my travels.
Yes.
I saw some stuff. I was driven around Athens, Georgia in a boat car. I'll post a picture of that on the website because it's exactly what it sounds like. My cousin has taken a speedboat and basically attached it to the chassis of a pickup truck. It's the UGA boat car, and on game days he drives it around and gets a lot of attention. You really do feel like a celebrity in that thing. People are waving, taking photos, shouting out, go dogs, and you're waving back, going, yeah, go dogs, and you feel like a goddamn celebrity.
Excellent.
And then you get out of it and you are basically invisible.
Yes. Can it go in the water?
No, it's not. It's not an aquatic amphibious vehicle. Not an amphibious vehicle. Mm. It's just purely because why not?
Yeah, hell yeah, why not, right? Boat car.
I mean, even in America, you get attention in one of those. So, no, that was a lot of fun. Did lots of things, so a lot of fun. And now I'm on an actual speedboat on a lake, and I got to drive that around, so that was quite a good fun.
Mm, that is cool.
Saw an actual real-life snake in the woods. Turns out it was not a dangerous snake, just a garter snake, which is just as good. Because I got in nice and close to take some good pictures. I thought, yeah. He seems chill.
Did you take your pictures before you knew it was dangerous?
No, no, I didn't. But it just, he seemed chill, seemed to be hanging out, just seemed to want to have his photo taken, so I duly obliged.
Right.
Yeah, it was a good time. So there's too much stuff I did there to really go on about, but it was a fine time. I've enjoyed my weeks off, but I'm ready to get back in the saddle.
Yes, indeed.
People probably want to know what's been going on with two important things. The gout situation has really changed. When I was in the US, I stopped taking any meds I had for anything because I'd forgotten for a few days and it didn't seem to have made any difference. So I thought, well,
brilliant.
Wonder how many days I can do this for without it making any difference. And we're currently at 30. So,
oh, okay.
Clearly those meds weren't doing anything. So it's nice to be off those. So who knows what's going on with the gout? Not really the update you needed. I've been referred for physio. I'll keep you posted. And of course, the other important thing is the lemon plant.
Ah, yes.
Has absolutely flourished over the summer, has probably trebled in size, done beautifully well. But whilst I was in America, I got a message from Carly saying, it looks like there's going to be a ground frost. Do you want me to bring the plant in?
Mm.
So I've, shit, yes, absolutely. So she brought it inside and Lemony Snicket is currently living in the laundry room. I will also take photos of that and post them to the site because people seem to be interested.
Should we rank some shit?
Right. Let's get down to it.
Yes. Now, new rankers, if you're new and listening, normally we would talk about the last episode here, but we've already done that back on that teaser trailer that you hopefully heard on Wednesday. So we're just going to crack straight in and spin the coin of destiny, which is still exactly where I left it 2 months ago, glued to my microphone. Here it is.
Spin it.
How are we going to know who goes first or second, though?
Ah, I was hoping you'd ask that. It's simple. All you have to remember is heads for Hurst. Squirrels have tails.
She's up and it's heads first. Let's get ranking.
Let's get ranking. I'm not a massive fan of the horror genre. I don't ever find myself thinking, oh, you know what, I really fancy being scared right now. And the ones I have seen have been pretty crap. But once you've been through enough and you're watching just anything you haven't seen before, that's where you get to the dregs of horror. And the dregs of horror, I think, are worse than the dregs of any other film genre.
Mm, that's a bold call. Dregs of comedy has got to be out there.
Yeah, no, fair enough. The dregs of comedy is there. But actually, that kind of overlaps with the dregs of horror because some horror is so bad it's laughable. But anyway, I thought this was going to be challenging for me to try and find five that I've seen. But it turns out I have seen quite a lot of the classics. And as I went through the likes of the IMDb, I thought, oh yeah, that's great. Oh, that's brilliant. So there was quite a lot to choose from. And I had to leave a few really quite good ones out.
Mm.
But I have made my decision.
All right.
I'm happy with it.
Good.
And in at number five, I have Alien from 1979, directed by Ridley Scott, starring Sigourney Weaver, Ian Holm, and John Hurt.
Yeah, I think I know that one.
Yeah, It's got aliens in it. Well, it's got one alien. But in terms of summary, deep in the cold void of space, crew of the commercial freighter, the Nostromo, responds to a mysterious distress signal on a desolate planet. What they find isn't a survivor. It is a parasite, one that's burrows and gestates and burst forth as one of cinema's most elegant and terrifying monsters, H.R. Giger's biomechanical nightmare. It's big, fast, agile, strong, intelligent, and if you do manage to hurt it, it bleeds acid on you. It doesn't want your money, it doesn't want your planet or your prayers, it just wants your body as an incubator for its little brother or sister, hard to say.
Or son or daughter.
It doesn't. It's the queen that does the laying the eggs and the. They all start off as those face hugging things, don't they? And they. Yeah. Anyway, some kind of relation. Not sure about genders or pronouns, but they don't want anything except your death for their continued survival. So it kind of begins as a blue-collar science fiction, but it mutates into a claustrophobic nightmare. The sterile corridors become coffin walls. The hum of machinery becomes a death rattle. Sigourney Weaver's Ripley is the lone voice of reason in a sea of bad decisions. First true final girl to trade screaming in for strategy and, you know, being the smart winner of the film. So that's another reason to love it, because it broke the mold there. And yay to Sigourney Weaver for being a banging action hero. So yeah, fuck you, the patriarchy. You're all dead and stupid. Ripley's alive and suffering from debilitating PTSD. So
yay.
Yeah, nobody's really winning there.
No.
The chest burster scene remains an absolute masterclass in shock, but really it's the silence afterwards that gets under your skin. At least Scott didn't just make a monster movie. He made space, like the whole isolation, the solitude of space into the villain. And the tagline was right. In space, no one can hear you scream, but back on Earth, everyone can and did. Brilliant stuff. Alien number 5.
There you go. Excellent. I guess, spoilers, sorry about that for people that haven't seen a movie that's literally the same age as hers and I. So, yeah, you've had time. Cool. Alien. Yeah. Might chat about that in a bit. Who knows, right? Number 5 for me is An American Werewolf in London.
Oh. Now, tell me about that.
This is probably the film that scared me the most out of any horror film I saw. And I'm well aware that it's not an especially scary film. The problem was I saw it when I was 8. Holy shit, snacks. I was ruined. Like, I was seriously mentally affected by this fucking film. Ollie Horsford? Hawkswoof? I can't remember his name, but he was my friend from lower school. And we watched it around his house, and his parents were like, yeah, you can watch that. What the fuck were they thinking?
Bad parenting.
Oh, man. I shat my tiny pants, Hurst. I've seen it since. I'm aware it's not that scary. It's funny. It's like a horror comedy, right? It's a good film. I won't talk about it too much because it's only number 5. It won the very first Oscar for Best Makeup, which, you know, as it should, right? With the whole transformation scene was iconic. And it was directed by John Landis, who did like Blues Brothers and other movies like that. So it was quite a big departure for him. But yeah, American Werewolf in London fucked me up. So I had to sneak it onto my list whilst losing other films that have like devastated me not to include some things in this list, because I do quite like horror movies. And yeah, there's some that I'm not going to be talking about, which I'm very sad about. But this just had to go in because it fucked me up. Number 5, 1981's An American Werewolf in London.
You know what's interesting is when I was deciding, like, what is going to be, like, the top 5 horror movies, I started to think, like, is it the scariest? And I decided it wasn't. And actually, 2 of the films that have shit me up the most at the cinema aren't actually going to make my list. I won't talk about them now because it'll
spoilers
hint at what is on there. But I just thought, no, it's got to be a combination of the iconic nature of it or how it affected generations. It was a difficult one to pick. Anyway,
right.
I digress. So, I'm not going to gamble with my first number 4 of the new season.
Yes, for new rankers, do you want to explain what the fuck you just said?
My number 4 pick has, I mean, let's put it mildly, been controversial. Let's put it realistically, has lost me probably several weeks.
Often been your downfall.
Yeah, people don't seem to like what I picked for number 4. I think half the time it's because I'm misunderstood, and the other half of the time people just haven't seen things right or aren't listening to the show right. But anyway, number 4 has typically been a bit of a hurdle for me to stumble at. So,
well, let's have it.
Not gambling this one.
Okay.
My number 4 is another psychological horror masterpiece. This time, a young girl in a deep emotional distress, restrained and subjected to horrifying experiments by various doctors who all think they know what's wrong and how to cure it. And the flickering lights kick in, the screams, the sense of helplessness, a descent into madness that scarred a generation. I am, of course, talking about Return to Oz. 1985, childhood's dark mirror. Director Walter Murch stars Feyruza Balk off of The Waterboy,
all right.
Nico Williamson, Gene Marsh. Billed as a children's film, But realistically, it's a terrifying crawl through Hell's Toy Box. Firuza Balk's Dorothy is fragile but fierce, navigating a broken Emerald City that feels more post-apocalypse than fairy tale. The whole thing hums with an uncanny menace. It's like Alice in Wonderland meets Hitchcock's nightmares. I mean, to give you some summary of this, people are going, oh yeah, Stupid Man is stupid number four. No, I went to the cinema and after I saw The Wheelers, I had to leave, and my brother did as well. In fairness, we were young, but it was just that damn scary. But within minutes, Dorothy's being strapped down for electroshock therapy for talking about Oz. And her only ally in this grim reality is a fucking chicken. Then there's a big storm. She's swept into a wasteland version of Oz, where the Emerald City lies in ruins, the citizens are turned to stone, and the streets are haunted by the goddamn Wheelers, shrieking, grinning, gurning lunatics with wheels for hands and feet. The spray paint says, "Beware the Wheelers," and God, they got that right. Absolutely grim, just nightmare fuel. Oh, and of course, there's Princess Mumby, who literally swaps heads from her walk-in wardrobe with decapitated faces. Yep, she cuts off people's heads and wears them. Messed up. Tin Man, rusted. Scarecrow, turned to an ornament. Not a single friend is left in her fantasy land. It's just beautiful. Absolutely horrifying. What were they thinking? Number four, Return to Oz.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I love that you're so confident that that's an absolutely normal pick for horror films. Let's find out.
Yeah.
That had monkeys, right, as well. They were scary, right?
Just everything about it was scary. They had the giant, like the rock people, the stone lords, but the only way to kill them was for the chicken to lay an egg in its mouth, and then they all crumbled. It's like, so just as well she had that chicken, which is, I don't know who came up with that shit, but that was
drugs.
It was drugs, man.
Well, fair enough. We'll see what the rankers think.
And of course, everyone thought I was going to say something completely different.
The Exorcist.
Exactly. Because it's the same story, only that was an 18.
Yes, if there was such a thing at the time. But yeah, it is now, certainly. All right, well, we'll find out what the rankers think soon enough, Erst. But for now, my number four is a low-budget movie called Paranormal Activity. It's a movie about a girl who goes to sleep and stupid, arrogant American boyfriend. Well, they're both American, but he was super tough American man who just wanted to beat the ghost up and would shout abuse and tell it to come out here so we could kick it in. And it's like, mate, what are you fucking achieving here besides pissing your poor girlfriend off? But the story of Paranormal Activity, very quickly, a girl thinks her house is haunted. So her boyfriend, who's called Mika, he's not the one that sings, I don't think, but hey, maybe he was. They set up some cameras so maybe they can catch some of these spooky goings on, and they do. It's fucking horrifying and very, very clever. Quite a lot of the worst bits of the film is when you're just watching them laying in bed, and sadly they do just lay in the bed, but hey-ho, and wait for something to happen because you know something's going to happen, and it starts off like not a lot's going on, like the door might open a little bit and that's it, and you think, it could just be the wind. It's not the fucking wind, it's a fucking demon, and he's gonna get her. And spoiler alert, he fucking gets her. This film's from 2007. You've had 18 years, you're all right. It's really fucking good, and it's pretty fucking legitimately scary. And they filmed it for around 15 grand, and it made quadrillions. I think that's the official estimate. Quadrillions of pounds. It does hold the world record for the most profitable movie of all time, because they made it for so little and made so much goddamn money and spawned like a load of fucking sequels, as these things do when they're successful. But yeah, the first Paranormal Activity remains the best one, in my opinion, and it's fucking great. Number three. Paramac.
You mean number four?
Number four, Paramac.
I did actually see that one. Oh. Ghosts always were the most scary thing for me because, you know.
What do? You can't fight them, no matter how American you pretend
exactly.
to be.
Exactly. I can see, I mean, even then you could see why, because you've got to try and be tough, and that's the only way you know how. You don't know how to fight something, so you have to try and bring it round to terms that you can understand. And even when you described it, I just got goosebumps on my arms because I remember how scary it was and how terrified I was watching it.
Yeah.
It's a scary damn film. It's a good call. Right, so let's move on to my number three, which is probably venturing back into the more traditional horror, and that is Psycho,
nice.
1960. Directed by Alfred Hitchcock, of course, starring Anthony Perkins and Janet Leigh. The summary, let's go this way.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Like, sometimes you get lost for words and these things, because I watched it again this week just to be sure, and it's still fucking brilliant. So what it is, Marion Crane is a secretary sick of her dead-end love and low-pay situation, impulsively steals $40,000, which in 1960 was an awful lot of money.
About 40 grand, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah,
back in 1960.
And on a lonely highway, she finds the Bates Motel, a cozy refuge run by an awkward young man named Norman and his overbearing mother.
Ooh.
And what begins as a crime thriller about guilt and greed twists into something much darker, where every shadow has a secret, every voice has an echo. Hitchcock does the unthinkable. He kills off his leading lady halfway through the film. Again, spoilers, but it is 65 years old.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And that single act changed cinema forever. The infamous shower scene, 78 camera setups, 52 cuts, and not a single explicit stab. Remains one of the most famous murders in movie history. You don't see the blade connect, but you feel it in your skin and your stomach. And of course, it has got that noise, which it's become synonymous with stabbing murders. Like, everyone does it.
Yeah.
And that's the power of the film. Anthony Perkins plays Norman Bates perfectly. He's just polite, gentle, bird-like, and completely broken. He seems so nice and nerdy. He's the boy next door with a hobby that's, you know, 50% taxidermy, 50% matricide. He's basically a walking Freudian thesis. But the real genius of Psycho is how normal it feels until it doesn't. Hitchcock basically weaponized and participation in movies and the silence before the screen. By the time we reach the cellar and the truth about the mother and what's been going on, we've all learned a terrifying lesson that evil doesn't always snarl. It's not always obvious and up there in front. Sometimes it's smiling shyly at you from across the room. It may be 65 years old, but it's still fantastic. Every time you see the mother moving around, it moves in such just a horrible, there's something creepy even about the way he moves as his mother. Oh, brilliant, brilliant film. If you've not seen it, I highly recommend it. It's not scary in the same way as Paranormal Activity is, but it's a brilliant horror.
Absolutely
brilliant. Number three, Psycho.
There we go. Yeah. Famously filmed in black and white because they couldn't get away with it in colour, right?
Oh, probably, yeah. And yeah, the blood and that.
Wasn't it the first film to involve a flushing toilet as well? That's a bit of trivia that's just jumped into my head.
I think it might be.
First film to have a flushing toilet. Here we go. Well, Psycho. Yes, there we go. How the fuck do I know that? There we go.
Good knowledge there. I'm glad it wasn't my number one and I didn't try and hit you with that as my
fact. I'd have been all over it. Fact versus estimated fact. Cool. Where are we, number three? I'm all over the place. As I've already explained to Hurst, my top five was not locked in before this started. I've already shifted it around a little bit. So at number three, for me, we're going for some sci-fi horror. So let's talk about Event Horizon, because Event Horizon is a fucking banger. Love Event Horizon. It came out in 1997, just around the time they were starting to use special visual effects in films more and more. They did that for Event Horizon with these some exterior scenes and some zero gravity scenes inside the ship. It's fucking brilliant. Here's the story of Event Horizon. And if you don't know it, I will try not to spoil it too much, because you really should go and see this one because it's fucking wicked. But the Event Horizon is a spaceship. It's a new research ship, and they fly it out to Pluto, and it just vanishes, and they lose contact with it. And it's the biggest disaster in space history, and everyone's very sad. 7 years later. That was, by the way, I think due to happen 3 years ago, the Event Horizon left. I think it's like 2022, the Event Horizon left the Earth. Anyway, 7 years later, fucking, they find it again. It's there. They get back in contact with it. So they dispatch a rescue ship, and it's the crew of this rescue ship that you're spending the film with. And they go out to try and, well, see if there's any survivors, unlikely after 7 years, but you never know. And to find out what happened, maybe even potentially bring it back. I'll tell you what happened, Hurst. It went to fucking hell and then came back again with hell on it. Fucking brilliant. I love Event Horizon so much. It's brilliant. I'm just going to keep saying it. It's brilliant. Maybe I should explain why.
It is brilliant, to be honest. I saw that in the cinema. I went thinking it was going to be a sci-fi film, and it scared the absolute shit out of me.
It did. I'm not saying it scared the shit out of you, but it also scared the shit out of me. It was just excellent. The main thing that scared me about it is, like, obviously they're a long, long way from Earth, so there's no one coming to fucking help them. They're absolutely on their own. And there, for most of the movie, there wasn't a bad guy, because they were fighting against the actual ship itself that they were on. It was just like, oh, I'm going to fuck you up. And it's got all that Latin shit going on. Whatever they said. Fucking banging. And it had the weird black hole infinity drive thing with its weird spinny roundy lights and fucking pain corridor, which only existed to look cool. It was just like a big old cheese grater that went round and round. It's like, why does this exist on the ship? They're like, sci-fi shenanigans. And you're like, okay, let's carry on. No one got grated up in that thing, by the way, which is quite a surprise. Oh yeah, do you remember I was not doing spoilers? I should get back to that. Just so fucking good. Event Horizon is one of the best sci-fi horror films that's ever been made, and you owe it to yourself to go and give a whole new meaning to the phrase the living room, because you're not going to think about it the same way after that, because the whole fucking thing's alive. Yeah, Event Horizon is my number three.
Yeah, it's just a devastating film. I toyed with it, but I couldn't bring myself to watch it again to find out what happened. I was too scared to go back. That film is a menace. Good call. Really good call. Right, so we're down to my number two. Ooh. And I have gone for another classic directed by Stanley Kubrick again. This one is The Shining, starring Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall and Danny Lloyd. A masterpiece of madness where every frame hums with unease. Kubrick's perfectionism meets Stephen King's ghosts and horror writing, and the result is something just timeless and terrifying. So in summary, Jack Torrance, played by Jack Nicholson, is a failed writer and recovering alcoholic and all-round bad candidate for isolation, accepts a job as a winter caretaker at the remote Overlook Hotel. He brings his wife Wendy and young son Danny along for a few quiet months of caretaking, writing, and trying not to murder each other.
Oh, good idea, yeah. How did that go?
Unfortunately, the hotel has other plans, and the longer they stay, the thinner the line between cabin fever and supernatural possession becomes, until Jack's writer's block turns into axe murdering.
Hmm.
The direction is clinical, symmetrical, and suffocating. Every frame feels cursed. Even a painting hung ever so slightly askew, which is frankly a mini horror for me on its own. The camera gliding down through endless corridors, trapping us in the geometry of the hotel and frankly Jack's deteriorating mind. You can feel the walls closing in, one steady cam shot at a time as it moves around the corridors, especially with little Danny on his trike.
On his big wheel, right?
Yeah. On his big wheel. It's just...
Wasn't the one of that ever your top five modes of transportation?
Yeah, fucking right, big wheel. Didn't get him out of all that trouble, though.
You didn't.
Even that, just a kid riding around an empty hotel on a big wheel, it hummed with fear. You just knew bad things were coming, and every corner he went round, you're like, what the fuck's going to be there? What's going to make my skin stand on end? What's my hair stand on end? I don't know how my skin would stand on end.
We'll figure it out.
Maybe that's what it does when I stand up. Anyway, it's brilliant. Just pedals through this hall, giving us one of Cinema's most enduring images of dread. The twins...
Oh, those fucking little girls.
And play with us, Danny.
Fuck you.
Forever.
Oh. No. Freaky twins.
I mean, the child sees the ghosts that the adult ignores, or the adults ignore. There's no jump scare, really, though, that hits harder than... Here's Johnny bursting through the splintered wood. I say the real horror isn't the ghost, it's the slow corrosion of the family under pressure, the madness that comes from isolation rather than monsters. It's a brilliantly done film, and obviously Jack Nicholson is one of the greatest actors of all time, and it's one of his greatest roles. The Overlook Hotel becomes a living, breathing labyrinth, and Nicholson's descent into madness is sublime. Yeah, it's a rare film that terrifies as much for its precision and character studies as its paranormal elements. It's timeless. Absolutely watchable now, and you wouldn't it looks dated. You just think, I want to stop this and do something nice. Someone cuddle me. So yeah, that's my number two, The Shining.
fucking banging film. Shining was one of the ones I was very disappointed that I wasn't going to be talking about, so I'm glad you brought it up. Just so fucking clever. Do you know why the bits where you're following the bike are so fucked up and horrible? It's because they were doing shenanigans with the scenery, so they would change it. So he rides his bike somewhere that shouldn't be possible because you've already been past walls that have suddenly vanished when he turns it around. And they're just doing all sorts of clever shit like that. They're moving tables while the camera's swinging around. Just fucking so clever.
Brilliant.
The hotel cannot be that shape. There's doors that can't exist. There's things. Oh, it's fucking, I love fucking Shining. It's a great, great film.
Deeply unsettling. But so compelling.
Yeah, indeed. Excellent. Time for my number two. Time for me to decide what that's going to be. And I have decided, Hurst. We're back to the found footage genre. And oh, hey, who could guess what's going to be my number two film? I think I've talked about this twice on this podcast now because it came out in 1999 and we've covered that.
Yeah, definitely came out in that one.
Yeah, so the Blair Witch Project remains one of my favourite films, not favourite horror films. It was a revelation at the time. The way they advertised it, the way they filmed it, the way the actors used their own names and weren't allowed to do any of the press tour because they were dead. It's just so clever. I've read more about it since Hurst. And it started off, it was mostly going to be the documentary bit. Like it was mostly going to be asking people about the Blair Witch, and the three people in it weren't going to be in it that much. I mean, they were paid peanuts, but you know, fair enough. The whole film was made for nothing, you know, literally. I think it was $20,000 or like,
they got some royalties out of it though.
Nope. They got fucked.
Really?
Absolutely creamed. Yes. Because, they were no one and this was a little indie budget thing. So they weren't ever expected to make much money. There was a contract thing written into their contract that if they made $1 million, they would get X amount per million. It made 248 million. So they should have been fucking rich, but they were stiffed by the studio somehow. I don't know, Hollywood accounting. I know Heather, who has since changed her name just to get away from the fact that she was called Heather Donahue in the film and she's called Heather Donahue in real life. She's called Ray now. Yeah, she managed to get some money out of them, but it took years and years and years. And I think they're paying her something like 50 grand a year of her million. Like until they've paid her off or something like that. But you know, even though all Hollywood people are wankers, it seems the film remained fucking incredible. It was just for people getting lost in the woods, proper fucking lost. The whole thing is the most improvised thing you're ever going to see, because not only did they not have a script, they were also doing the camera work, they were doing the sound recording, they were just told where to be at the end of each day and they had to find their way through the woods. They were fucking hungry and they were angry in real life, which is why it translates so well into the fucking movie. They don't know what's going on, so you don't know what's going on. And the ending is just one of the best horror endings of all time. So, oh, fuck it, you've seen The Blair Witch. It's fucking 26 years old. Stand in the corner while your mate gets battered. That house at the end with the little handprints up the stairs and fucking all of that was just all manner of fucked up. I'm sure I said this last time, but I saw it in the cinema and I sat in the cinema and I walked out of that cinema with a full drink and a full box of popcorn and so did every other fucker, because once it kind of got going, no one did anything else but sit silently and think, ah, oh, fucking what the fuck have I got myself into here? Loved it. Love Blair Witch. Love it still. Fucking incredible film. Sorry if you got motion sickness because you missed out on one of the greatest things ever to come to the cinema. Number two, 1999's Blair Witch.
Gosh, what could possibly be your number one?
Well, Welcome Back to Oz or whatever that one's called.
To Oz, that's it. There was definitely no welcome back. Just getting sucked back into Oz now, we're going to take you down. There's no munchkins, there's no good witches, this is just pure hell.
Aww.
That's where the Event Horizon went. It went to freaking Oz and then came out again.
A lot of people think strap in, Mal, because I'm about to get power nerdy. Event Horizon was very much the precursor to the Warhammer 40,000 universe, because the ship went through the Chaos Realm, went through the warp, came back with Chaos Gods on it, and fucked everyone up. And that's basically what happens in Warhammer 40,000 as well. Power nerd moment over. Tune back in, normal people.
Nice, nice. One for the marks. So at this point, for any new rankers, we don't go straight to our number one. We take a slight detour and announce what we consider to be the worst of our category. Now, bear in mind, this does not count towards the ranking. Do not vote based on what you're about to hear. Just enjoy, because our opinions count. The worst horror movie of all time, I haven't even seen. It's called The Human Centipede. And do you know why it's my worst?
No, worst.
Because fuck the guy that came up with that. And all let's right. be honest, it was definitely a guy.
Oh, yeah.
Get in touch with Elon. Get the hell off this planet, you sick fuck. Ghastly business. Human Centipede is the worst.
That's all it. Right. Do you even, like, know what it's about?
I know enough. I know that he attaches mouths to bums and turns people into centipedes. What kind of... I mean, not having committed a crime, you should be in prison for coming up with that because, you know, you're gonna... Awful business.
All right. Fair enough.
How would that concept come to you?
Oh, drugs, presumably.
Yeah, but even then.
Get ready for facts. First, the concept of the film arose from a joke. Director Tom Six, sounds like a guy, made with friends about punishing a child molester by stitching his mouth to the ass of a very fat truck driver.
Okay.
Then he turned that into a career.
So not even necessarily drugs, just someone saying something like, but the fact that your mind goes there.
What about the truck driver, man? What's he done wrong? He just drives a truck for a living. He doesn't want someone stapled to his butt.
Yeah, it's... Fuck that guy.
Yeah, yeah. I should talk about mine, really, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, the worst horror film is one that, unfortunately, I saw at the cinemas, and it's The Blair Witch. 2, Book of Shadows. Fucking hell. Way to just fuck it up. Like, I know that they rushed this out. It literally came out in 2000. It was less than a year later. It was just a normal film. There wasn't found footage or anything. It was just a film about a guy who was, it was a bit meta. He was cashing in on the original Blair Witch film by doing Blair Witch tours, and he would take normal people around the woods and say, this is where they filmed that bit. Blah, 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 blah. Just shit. Just utter shit. They didn't have time to do a good job. They didn't have time to write a good script.
Cash grab.
Powerful cash grab. And I was so... I've never been so fucking disappointed in the film in my life. I don't think it's that bad, but I think compared to Blair Witch, it's just not... It's not even trying to be in the same league. It's not playing the same fucking sport. It doesn't live on the same fucking planet. It is, you know, apparently slightly worse than Human Centipede, if we believe IMDb's rating of things. But yeah, there was just nothing redeeming about it at all. It was crap and boring and generic, and it was like the fucking opposite of what The Blair Witch was. There was, it just wasn't clever or unique or anything, and gives a shit. Blair Witch 2, get onto the arse of a fat truck driver.
Poor fat truck drivers.
Truck drivers, we love you. I used to drive a truck and I fucking loved it. Nothing against truck drivers. Everything against Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows. Who directed this shit? Joe Berlinger does not ring a bell. He's done fucking nothing much else. He did Metallica's Some Kind of Monster. There we go. Yeah, nothing you fucking heard of besides Blair Witch 2. And nor does he deserve to do much work either. Fucking hell. Just bullshit. Right. That's enough just being angry.
Anyway. We are done with our hate fest. That's not what we're about.
No.
I'm sorry. I did get a bit over upset about that.
I didn't. I didn't get fucking upset enough with mine. What do we do now? Feels like there's something else we need to talk about.
I don't know. That's it, isn't it? We've done everything. Now we've done our top four.
Yeah, thanks, Rankers. Bye. Yeah, top four face-off.
Of course, we are coming to our first top selections of the season. My number one was an easy number one for me. It is a film called Jaws from 1975, directed by Steven Spielberg.
Not Stevie Spielberg.
Famous for his horrors, but has also still, in my opinion, done the greatest one of all time. Starring Roy Scheider, Richard Dreyfuss and Robert Shaw as the main three dudes. In summary, it's a summer on Amity Island and the tourist dollars are rolling in until a midnight swim turns into a midnight snack for a big fat shark. The local police chief wants to close the beaches. The mayor wants to keep the money flowing. And the great white shark circling offshore doesn't give a tiny rat's fart either way. As the body count rises, a mismatched trio of Chief Brody, oceanographer Hooper, and a grizzled shark hunter called Quint set out to take down what might well be the most potent killing machine in the ocean. Spielberg's genius here was actually born of a broken robot.
Yes.
The mechanical shark barely worked. Yep.
It wasn't waterproof, right?
Yeah. It was knackered because he didn't have like CGI or anything then. No, you had to have your animatronics, you had to have your robots and that. And it didn't work very well. So he had to make terror out of what we didn't see, the rippling water, the floating barrels. And ultimately, thanks to John Williams and his incredible score of two notes that somehow still trigger a primal reaction in any beachgoer alive, made it into an absolutely compelling, brilliant, and not cheesy horror masterpiece, which, considering what they were up against, is remarkable. So Roy Schneider anchors the chaos as the everyman chief who's out of his depth, but, you know, trying to do what's right. Dreyfuss brings the manic scientist energy, and Robert Shaw's Quint is pure cinematic myth, half sea captain, half ghost story. The story of the USS Indianapolis, that monologue he does, is so chilling it could freeze the salt water. It goes from cheerful, drunken, having a good old laugh to just silence, and it's beautifully done. Jaws isn't just a monster movie, it's distilled tension. Man versus nature, ego versus instinct, the sea versus anyone stupid enough to think they can tame it. And then the final showdown with Brody clinging to a sinking mast, rifle aimed at an oxygen tank, is pure movie alchemy. Smile, you son of a bitch. And when the shark finally explodes, it's not just relief, it's just the release of every repressed scream from an audience that has not unclenched for 2 hours. People still love Jaws 50 years on. For all the Meg's special effects, it doesn't hold a candle Jaws. No. It just goes to show it doesn't matter how good your technology is. If you haven't got the right story, the right director, the right actors, and just the right characters, none of it matters. Jaws is 50 years old and it's still brilliant every time I watch it. So that's my number one, Jaws.
Yeah, just an excellent shout. Jaws is a cultural phenomenon, right? Everyone surely knows that music.
Yeah, brilliant. It's music that has transcended the movie, just like with Psycho. There's sounds that come from those classic movies, and The Omen very nearly made my list. I watched it for the first time just yesterday. And
the music in that.
It's just brilliant.
Phenomenal. Yeah, and the bit with the Rottweiler and the way the music matched the Rottweiler's breathing. Fuck yeah, that was clever.
Yeah,
a good movie.
It was a very good movie. Jesus. Anyway, I won't go into those in case they're your number one, which I know they're not.
No, because you know exactly what mine is. But would I would like a fact and an estimated fact. Right.
Okay. Fact. Robert Shaw turned up drunk on set for the filming of his USS Indianapolis speech. And in spite of doing several further takes sober, his drunken rendition was deemed the best and is the one actually used in the film.
Brilliant. I want that to be the fact. Let's hear the other one.
Fact. Jeffrey Voorhees, who plays the little boy Alex Kintner that gets eaten early in the film, still gets flown around the world to conventions and is paid $10,000 for each one, even though he was only in the film for 5 minutes.
What? Now, I know these convention people, they do make their dollar. And there can't be many people left in Jaws that are still alive, right? Because it's such an old film now. I want the first one to be true, so I'm just going to say that. The fact is that he did a drunk reading of his line that was better than all of his sober efforts.
In fairness, I would like that one to be true, but it is not. It is the guy who played Alex Kintner, and it was only in 2017 he finally came to the whole people saying, will you come to these things? It's like, it's not worth it. Then he realised, fuck, it was worth it.
Oh, yeah.
No, after I came up with the whole Robert Shaw one, I was like, oh, I wish that was true, because it's such a great scene.
Cool. My number one, Hurst.
Tell me a little bit about Alien.
Yeah, let's talk about Alien, because just fucking brilliant. A couple of corrections from earlier in the episode. It wasn't a planet, it was a moon.
It's a starship.
No, it wasn't. No, you're right. It was a commercial towing vehicle. Anyway, Alien. Yeah, just fucking brilliant. When you think about how old it is and how it still looks freaking perfect, because, again, no special effects, although there is one right at the end when the ship blows up. That's kind of hand-drawn explosions and lights and stuff. But, fuck, I love Alien. God, it's good. I'm very into aliens, as anyone that knows me might know. In fact, in my background, Hurst now can see up there, there's a little toy alien. That, you see that thing there in the corner? That is a laser disc of Alien. So that's an Alien's laser disc. Who the fuck has one of them? Me? Do I have a laser disc player? Of course I don't. I don't even know where I would get such a thing. I love Alien. I love all of the movies. I don't care, even the ones that you think are bad. Everyone out there, fuck off. No, they're not.
You're absolutely right about how it aged. So, well, I was talking to my brother about this the other day, and he said, what's amazing is if it wasn't for the haircuts, you would not be able to place it.
Haircuts and smoking inside.
Yep. Yeah. But even then, you think in space, like, what are they going to do? Who's coming to find us? So smokers would probably smoke on board, because what are they going to do? Go outside?
Oh, that's true. What they're going to do? Yeah. Well, maybe they're not going to get their bonus situation. Oh, my God. Right.
But still, it's the haircuts and the clothes a little bit that kind of give it away. But everything else about it is still absolutely on point.
Yep. And like you said, Sigourney was not even touted as the star of the film when it came out. Like, that was John Skerritt that everybody, Tom Skerritt, sorry, that everybody thought was going to be like the lead. He was billed first, then he dies halfway through. And Sigourney's the only one left. Pretty much unknown at the time. She'd done one film before that, but nothing that anyone would have really seen. And this obviously launched her into superstardom because she did a fucking immense job. They all did. They all did fantastic jobs. And it was just an excellent film. The kind of symbolism of getting face fucked and pregnant, for want of a better phrase. And yeah, cheeky old Ash not being who they thought he was. Oh, no, he's trying to help it all along. Just, yeah, spoilers. Yeah, it's fucking great. I could talk about it, as you well know, for many, many hours here. So I shall save the rancors of that and just shit in the fact and an estimated fact at you. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
All right. Fact, to make the spaceship look bigger when they first went outside it on LV-46, the moon they landed on, Ridley Scott dressed children up in spacesuits and filmed them from far away to make it all look bigger. They were actually his kids. Mm-hmm. Or, fact, Geiger's Necronomicon, which was the book that the original Xenomorph design came from, the first print of that sold for over $2 million that was meant to go to charity, but never did because of Hollywood shenanigans. Which you can read about. Or you would be able to read about it if it was a fact, I guess, or not. Shut up! What do you think is the one?
Well, I'm going to say it's the second one is the fact, because we've already discussed how god-awful Hollywood shenanigans are. And he did some good acting, if it wasn't real, around looking stuff up.
Mwah, mwah. It's the first one, bitch. Yes, I'm afraid the second one was entirely made up, Hurst. I've tricked you, because it's Halloween, trick and or treat, and you got tricked. It was some kids in spacesuits. The second one, yeah, nothing. The Necronomicon exists, and it does have a picture of an alien in it, but I don't get anywhere ever sold or anything like that. Well, they sold them. You can buy them. They're really expensive. I'd like a copy, but they're power expensive now. But there you are. Cool. There's our list, rankers. One of us is right, but it's time to find out who. How can they do that? Hurst, how can they help us? Hurst, tell us. Hurst, tell everyone.
What they need to do, Squirrel, is they need to go to top5faceoff.co.uk and start smashing that vote button. See, I've used internet vernacular there. Smash that vote button.
You can only really smash it once.
Yeah, but smash it proper.
Okay.
Be nice if you left us a little note as well. Might get read out on our next show. If you write something cool, or if not many people write something, you can write pretty much anything and get read out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We don't hold ourselves to, we don't hold comments to high standards. If you take the time to write to us, we'll take the time to read it out.
The real challenge is to try and get a comment in before Meg does.
Yes. Speaking of our rankers, Hurst, I need to announce the winner of the contest that we were running during our break. Everybody that put a shout out on social media about the podcast was in with a chance of winning 3 months of premium pod. What's it called?
Goodness.
I need to try to say this. Premium Patreon goodness.
An official Supporter Hub membership for 3 whole months.
Official Supporter Hub. So I've got the list here. I've got it in Excel. I'm going to order by Rand. Ha ha! Meg!
Yay!
Yay, Meg!
We were all rooting for Meg.
Meg98, you are now an official member of the Supporter Hub. We will shout your name out along with the other official supporters who are Kovach and Davpaz. Thank you very much for your support. Thank you to all of our patrons, but especially those ones because they pay extra, so we thank them more. That's literally the deal.
Yeah.
Now, us, shall we actually spin the wheel this time round and find out what we're going to be doing on the next episode?
Share that screen. I want to see.
Hurst, can you see the wheel of decision?
Oh, I can see it. We've got some good stuff on there. We've got top five ABBA songs, top five chick flicks. I'm really keen on that one. I still want to do the top five kitchen implements. We're putting a new kitchen in right now. We're living in basically a construction site, so I can get all of the kitchen implements out of the shed and have a good rummage through those. Ooh, movie opening sequences. Oh,
that'd be a tough one.
Really long films. Fuck off. 3 hours. I've got six. Who's done that?
Someone has done that specifically because Hurst has said in the past that he thinks all films should be an hour and a half max.
No. Comedy should be an hour and a half. Everything else should be up to 2 hours.
Okay.
Like super epics, fine if you must go on for three, but...
Well, you're going to have to find some if it comes in.
This should not be the norm as it is seeming to become. Stupid 3 hours.
Should we find out, Hurst?
Oh, God. It's going to be that, isn't it? Yep, spin it.
And off it goes.
Top five songs from Dirty Dancing. Good stuff.
Oh, it was close to that one, but it isn't. It is top five
post-apocalypse movies and TV.
Top five post-apocalyptic... The fuck, I can't say it, Hurst, let alone rank it. Top five post-apocalypse movies / TV shows. Oh, I'm sure there was something, except The Matrix. I'm pretty sure was in brackets on that. Because otherwise The Matrix is just going to win again, presumably.
Yeah, hey, maybe it would be boring. No, it would. There's quite a lot out there.
A lot to choose from there, yeah.
Because it's got, like, the sci-fi versions. It's got the nuclear explosions, zombies. It's got all sorts, isn't it?
What do we normally say at the end of this thing, Hurst? Hurst, you sell art. In fact, I was there when you sold quite a lot of art at a recent weekend, a couple of weekends ago. Have you got any art left?
Yeah, I've got plenty of art left. I've set up a new website and I'm doing my best to try and actually make a living out of this now. So rank us, it's doghouseart.co.uk. But if you want to follow dog.house.art on the likes of Instagram, it would help because apparently algorithms and stuff. So I'm posting lots of stuff and trying to get people to follow it so more people will see it. And I don't really know how it works, but I've got a team of people now that produce, not my team, I have a team and the company that I work with for my website that produce lots of marketing stuff. So I'm just doing what they say.
Fair.
Because, you know, you've got to have a good run at these things. If you've at least done everything right, if it doesn't work out, you can't say, well, I should have done more.
Fair enough. Specifically, you have to go to www.doghouseart.co.uk. It won't work without it because apparently you work with amateurs now, mate.
Gosh.
Put the W's in, rankers.
Dub. Old school.
Do it. Yeah. Yes, old school indeed. Excellent, rankers. Tune in next time for post-apocalyptic movies and TV shows. And please rewind this podcast for the next person that comes along.
Don't forget to vote.
Don't forget to vote. That's the important thing.
Do it now.
Do it right now, rankers.
Stop what you're doing.
Pull the car over or don't. Fucking live dangerously. Just pull your phone out. You'll be fine. Cars are safe nowadays.
Don't do that. Safety first. Safety first on the law. Pull over or wake up or get out of the cinema because they don't like it when you're... Well, you shouldn't be listening to us in the cinema.
Are you listening to your podcast in the cinema? How bad is the film you're watching? If you're listening to this in the cinema or watching a shit film, please let us know, rankers. We would be thrilled to find that out. We're going to shut the fuck up now.
But importantly, go vote.
Go vote. Thanks, rankers. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining in. Love you.
Top 5 Face-Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Off.
about the truck driver, man? What's he done wrong? He just drives a truck for a living. He doesn't want someone staple to his butt.
Yeah, it's... Fuck that guy.
Fuck Tom Six. Fuck you, Tom Six, if you're listening.
Yeah, fuck you, Tom Six. We don't need you to listen.
Yeah.
Stop listening.
We do. Join our Patreon, Tom Six.
No, no, we don't want your money. We don't want
your money. I want your money, Tom. He doesn't want your money because I pay for everything. Pay us.
Turn off your Spotify right now, Tom Six. Never tune in. Never darken up. Give us money if you must, but stop listening.
All right. Oh, yeah, that's good. You could be in our Patreon, but you're not allowed to listen. And we certainly don't want your ranking opinion.
No, your opinion is not welcome.
All right, cool. Nuts. All right, to the time machine. Malx, we need a time machine. Let's get it done. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Daddy needs his dollar. I don't know why I call myself Daddy. Wow. Okay. Well, fuck you, Malx. We're your parents now. I don't think we're allowed it, really, are we? There are some post-apocalyptic scenes, but the majority of the movie takes place.
If it feels like cheating, it's cheating.
If it feels like cheating, it's cheating. Remember that when you start touching people that you shouldn't. what the fuck are we on about? You can buy them. They're really expensive. I'd like a copy, but they're power expensive now.
Oh, there you go. There you are. Start a Kickstarter. Come on, Rankers. Get him his Necronomicon.
Yeah, I mean, how much would I even need? This will go in the outtakes. This is boring as fuck. Can you just buy it on Amazon? Yes, I can. £780, please, Rankers. Let's
come on, Rankers. We can team up.
There we go. So I can.
If every single one of you contributes about £50, we might get there.
No, which is down in price. It was in August 922. So you know, it's a bargain. Act fast, Rankers.
That's bargs, that is.
Mm.
Beep. Well, I think what they need to do is go to www.notdoghouseart because that's something different. Shit. Top 5 Face Off.